5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I'll never make a host.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Surely this is Daisy time.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Monday the 31st of October, it is Daisy Thomas in the seat, the Greek Wombat, Joey Montagna out, Jing still off on holidays. Massive show coming up for you for your Monday, your Halloween, or most importantly, Cup Eve. Michelle Payne to join us, Emma Friedman, the little superstar, will be in. We discuss everything that Bill got up to on Derby Day, which is must-hear radio. Nothing. And, of course, we round the day out with what I've been assured will be a fantastic joke. Mm. Anthony William Brownless, hello and welcome to you.
G'day, Daisy. Thank you again for coming in and helping out. And happy Halloween. Do you get involved?
I do not get involved a great deal unless I have little Tilly with me. So, as is the way with these sort of traditions now, there's certainly American ones are coming over to Australia in a big way. So the kids are right into it. Oh, look, I probably will pretend that I'm not home tonight if anyone knocks on my door, to be completely honest.
Some houses go bunter.
They do, don't they? They certainly do. Mate,
bloody scary stuff hanging down and no good. Hello, speaking of scary stuff. Hello, rabbits.
Closest to that was 10,177 back in 1993. Oh,
absolutely butchered that. Please, I see Daisy a lot on social being highlighted with all the good things he does for Triple M. Please cut that 15 seconds up. And if anyone can make any sense of what he just said, I will stand nude in the boardroom at Triple M.
Imagine that, by the way. Brian nude in the
Oh, boy, indeed. That's what happens when Geelong play North Melbourne and they're 150 points up. We start going a little bit rogue.
And Brian, when he gets a little smell of something, bloke stuffing up, doesn't he love it? Doesn't he go with it?
Nobody can pile in harder and hate it more if he's being the one piled on. Bill, a lot happening around? A little bit of rappy?
A little big rappy.
Ooh.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hey, nice little rappy, rappy.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Don't risk missing all your team's matches at the T20 World Cup on KO Sports.
Footy news still dominates, doesn't it? AFL just, it's 12 months of the year.
Certainly is, 12 months of the year.
Sydney Swans have delisted three players.
Ooh.
Ruckman Sam Naismith.
Okay, tough run with injury, the boy.
Three ACLs, he said. Ben Ronke, or Ronk, however you want to say it. He kicked 7 on debut.
Tijuana, he'll find another home, you'd imagine.
And James Bell, so he's gone. At Essendon, finally a bit of good news coming along there at the Bomberland with Brad Scott there. Draft prospects. Awan and Jaden Davey have both nominated Essendon. They're twin boys of course, Awan Senior. Remember he playing?
Awan.
Awan or Awan.
There's an L in there.
Is there?
Certainly Awan.
Righto. That's good.
That is good news. That is really good. They missed a lot of the father-son draft picks as a result of the saga that went on there a couple of times. Mm. They weren't allowed to take players in the father-son, so they missed out on some stars.
Yeah, they need some kids coming through, but Tip and Woody, if he maybe gets back.
Good news for the Bombers.
Exactly. That's what they need. Cricket, have you ever heard of Ashley Chandra Singer?
I hadn't, no.
Chandra Singer?
Chandra Singer. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Good batsman, made a lot of runs in the district premier cricket, and he made a century on debut for Victoria.
Chandra Singer straight down the ground, a flawless shot, a debut to savour for Ashley Chandra Singer, a composed century and perhaps the first of many at first class level for this promising youngster. Remember the name, Ashley Chandra Singer.
That's it. Composed, he made 119 not off 333 balls.
Remember the name!
That's it.
It's not exactly bums on seat stuff, but it is what we need. If you are going to play long-form cricket, and we have got a lot of batsmen, but they're all getting a touch old, so that's good news for us.
Peter Hanscom made 95, by the way. Is he making runs? He's making runs for fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tassie have gone past Victoria in that Shield game. They lead by 119 runs. Jordan Silk has made 119 not out.
The neck.
Yes. And Tim Ward, the boy that we were talking about last week, good batsman, he made 91. So there's some good cricketers coming through there, Daisy. Been watching the World Cup cricket?
I haven't seen a lot of it. I sat down the other night to watch the big game, Australia v England, that got washed out.
It's pissing down.
Yeah, it certainly was, Mickey Roberts.
Yes, of course. So they play Ireland, the Aussies, tonight, to be sure, at the Gabba.
Yes.
We all know the Gabba, don't we? So, but the Aussies need a good win. And last night, South Africa defeated India. Did you see that? Yeah, South Africa. Very good win there. So well done to them. Great news for Netball Australia, Daisy.
Tell me they got some sponsorship dollars back.
They got some sponsorship. Guess where?
I'm probably going to not say a mining company.
No, from me, from you, from Rabbits, from
Triple Holmes, M.
From Whitney.
Triple M.
No, Victorian government. The taxpayers.
Oh, that's, look.
But that is good. It's a 4 or 5 year deal, $15 million, which they'd lost.
Yes.
Of course, which is fantastic. So they're going to promote Victoria as a tourism destination.
Absolutely.
So good.
Good on them. And well done the Victorian government for giving back some of the money.
Yes, exactly. They defeated England, by the way, last night. They're going all right, the girls, going very well there. Rugby League World Cup.
Rugby League.
Have you been following this one?
No.
Well, all right. So Australia take on Lebanon.
Okay.
Yes, in the quarterfinal. So big game.
Saturday night?
Sure.
Saturday morning.
Yeah, something like that. So the coach of Lebanon is Michael Checker, who used to coach Australia.
Correct.
Okay? But so he coaches Lebanon in the Rugby League World Cup, but he also coaches Argentina in the Rugby Union World Cup, which is on Sunday.
So double dipping.
How can you do that?
Both
he's coaching Lebanon and he's coaching Argentina. I can't believe that. That's a good effort by the Czech.
It certainly is.
Yeah, and basketball, Melbourne United. Oh, they needed a win. They got a nice win over the Hawks, 106 to 100 there in Wollongong. So well done.
They play tonight as well.
And they play tonight. And if you dress up in your best costume, your Halloween costume, you win a very nice prize there. But they need a good win over who? Perth. They're playing Perth tonight, so good luck. How's our man going, by the way?
CG43?
Yeah.
On fire.
Is
no,
he?
Rajon Tucker.
Oh, Rajon's going
How
well.
How many guys you guys got?
Oh, we got two now.
Okay, yeah, I like it.
As long as they're going well.
Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you think causes it?
Just a lack of intelligence.
Right now, we're joined by Melbourne Cup winner, Michelle Payne.
In 2015, our next guest made history by becoming the first female jockey to win the Melbourne Cup.
Prince of Pins in from Max Dynamo. Prince of Pins in, and history is coming to Michelle Payne.
Before tomorrow's big race, please welcome Michelle Payne.
Ah, yes, Daisy, and told them all to get stuffed.
Absolutely.
After, that's what we loved about her.
One of the greatest quotes you'll ever read, Bill, in that interview post. But Michelle, firstly, thank you very much for joining us. But just tell us how that week and that race in particular has changed your life.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, in every way you could imagine. Firstly, and probably the biggest, is having the movie made about my life, which you can't even imagine if you're thinking about yourself. But I think probably the best part about it, the whole thing, was having Stevie there, a part of it, to be in the movie playing himself and enjoying it with him, which just, you know, the icing on the cake, having him a part of one of my dreams I had from a five-year-old and achieving that.
We were reading in the Herald Sun today a little bit about the movie. Yeah. There was a dossier on it and how it came about, and that you took some persuading to get across the line for them to do the video. But as you say, Stevie, everyone else had a character. Stevie just played himself.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a bit of pressure from my family. Some of the sisters weren't that keen on the idea of a film being made about, you know, our lives and growing up and everything. So it was a few logistics to get across the line, but as soon as Stevie was cast as himself, which I think would have been very hard to cast him, it was an easy decision and everyone was so excited. And I think if you have seen the film, you would understand how good he was and how good it was for Down syndromes. And, you know, for our family, it was extremely special.
Spot on. Ride Like a Girl, the movie, of course. How was Paddy with that? Because he doesn't say a lot, Paddy.
I would say Paddy didn't give...
Yes, exactly. Exactly right, Michelle.
He is very hard to get a word out of, though. Oh, Bill never does much press or the interviews.
He gives you nothing. Gives you nothing. But he's training well, Shell.
Oh, he's training really well. I think he, from a young age, because I think when he won the Doncaster as a 16-year-old, his first group one, I think he's probably had a fair bit of, you know, press and people, you know, at him for a long time and a lot of years. And I think he just got to him. He's got a bit like, I'm a bit the same as him. We live on the farm, just a bit of peace and quiet. I think he certainly enjoys that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, do you ever pull out the video and have a look at that run again? Because, you know, we played footy and sometimes I get the VHS out, Michelle, and watch my 11 goals at the Gabba or the goal after the siren. Do you ever do anything like that?
Every now and then. I don't really need to put it on. It's usually replayed on racing.com a fair bit. Yeah. But, I just go back to that race at the moment, like watching it, and, you know, I could take it through every step of the way and the feeling and... you know, my tactics and what I wanted to do and how the horse was travelling. And, oh, God, I can tell you, at the 300, when he looked like winning and hitting the front, I was floating on air that last furlong. And when he went over that line, it's like nothing else. Can't even describe the feeling of how good it was.
Did you know in the run that you were going to win it? So, you know.
Or when did you?
Yeah, or at what point during it? Because there's a lot of talk at Flemington. You wait to the clock tower and all those things, all the old cliches that get thrown about. Was it at any stage you thought, geez, I'm in this up to my eyeballs, or you knew it was happening? What was the thinking there?
Yeah, I thought at about the 6:50. I thought I'm home here. he was just travelling so well. The whole race had gone well. Initially, he missed the start and walked out the barriers, but he got into the spot I needed to straight away, following Montefilia. The second horse that Frankie Dettori was riding, and he pulled a bit, but he was still in a rhythm. And by the time I got to that 6:50 mark, and I was on the back of the second favourite, Trip to Paris, and absolutely bolting into the race, I thought, oh God. You know, we're about to win the Melbourne Cup here, and I think at that moment you've got to bring yourself into the moment and don't lose it with getting too excited and, you know, hitting the front or pulling out too early. Mm. That's the other thing. You don't want to go too soon, but you also don't want to go too late and get boxed in. So it was about staying, you know, composed. And when we got to the 300, when you hit that clock tower and I gave him everything he had, I don't think I could have yelled any louder or been any more excited because, you know, that was the moment of my life that I dreamed of and had towards.
We're chatting to Michelle Payne Bill, who will be part of the Melbourne Cup Carnival action tomorrow, live and free on 10 and 10 Play.
Well, I saw her on Saturday in the mounting yard in her high heels trying to chase the horses around, which was interesting. But Michelle, so you're going to be frocked up tomorrow for the Melbourne Cup, but I see race 6, number 3 tomorrow, Pondus, trainer, Michelle Payne, jockey. Michelle Payne. So are you going to be all frocked up, then have to go in and put on the jockey gear on and then come back?
The old costume change.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to have to be very quick too by the sounds of it. The stewards have allowed me to do race 4, but I've got to go in and get changed after that, which is fair enough, and get into my riding silks and then straight back into my dress. I don't think I've got too much time because, you know, the Melbourne Cup's the next race. I don't want to miss the main one.
Oh, wow.
I think all going well, it should play out okay. He'll only run if we don't get too much traffic.
And you are working alongside the great man, Eddie Maguire, obviously a president of mine for a long time. Mm. How's his mood been this week? Because I've seen both sides of Ed, lovely man, very good, but high demanding, high standards. Has he given you a spray yet? Has his head turned that different shade of purple that it can go?
I've missed it so far. I mean, he's just been trying to stay out of the way. No. He's been amazing to work with. He's really positive and gives you good energy and good support. He's always like, make sure you go out there and you know how good you are and you've won the Melbourne Cup, so don't, you know, second guess that. And I love that he's so, you know, takes control like that and gives you that positivity and energy you need, because obviously I've come from being a jockey for so many years, really new into the commentary side of things and enjoying it, but all those things really help him and him saying that. But yeah, I'm really, really enjoying trying to run and catch up to the horses. I was hoping to do that discreetly, which you caught me out on. But yeah, it's good fun. I don't know how I'm going to go tomorrow if we get all this rain. I might need a set of gumboots. But I love being able to bring, you know, the latest news to the people at home, because sometimes the horse just won't show up in the way that you think it will. Or, for example, in the second race on Derby Day, the favourite, he just didn't look like he was quite there yet. He was still like 6 months away, and a lovely horse, ran well. But I think they're the things that if you're at home, you can't see. So to be able to give that information is great.
Actually, I was watching then, and everyone tipped the favourite. You said, no, you, Michelle, said, no. It's 6 months away, and it ran like it too. So very good tipping there. That's when I was trying. She was trying to chase after him in these high heels, which was sinking into the lawn. Righto, here we go. The $7.7 million Lexus Melbourne Cup over 3,200. There's a bit of rain coming. So give us one that you like, and then maybe one at odds, please, if you can, Shell.
Well, I like Brown with Flowers. He's not super short, but she has been backed in. I just can't keep going past the fact of she's got 50 kilos, she's drawn barrier 5, she likes that ground. She's a good mare. I've followed her for the last couple of years and thought she might have been in the race last year or even the year before. But probably better even still now. She's 6 years old, she's matured, she's racing really well. She trialled good the other day. Yeah. I just think she ticks so many boxes and might be the one that could be the lucky one on the day. But obviously you could pick 15 of them, but she's the one that I've gone towards. I like Without a Fight. I think for me he's the pick of the Europeans. I think if we do get a huge amount of rain, Knight's Order, he might just be very hard to catch. He's a beautiful looking horse, big and strong. He runs the 2 miles. He won the Sydney Cup on a and he'll be up in front making his own luck. He's drawn 24, but I think he'll just make his way across comfortably. He's a big, bold-going horse anyway. I don't think he'll have too many challenging him for the lead. And I just thought if we do get that amount of rain we're supposed to, he's going to be hard to catch.
If you could see the man across the table from me, Michelle's face right now, he tipped me Realm of Flowers as we walked in today. Just solidified it. He's dead set. They might explode that head of yours, Fat.
I know.
Michelle, thank you very much for joining us. All the best, not only with the coverage, but also your runner and the ride you have on Pondus. You're a star, and we appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, and best of luck.
Thanks, Michelle.
Michelle Payne on the Rush Hour. Catch her as part of Channel 10's coverage of the Melbourne Cup Carnival tomorrow, live and free on 10 and 10 Play.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Does the channel between your brain and your mouth, does stuff get in the way?
I think some people have bigger channels than what I have, Jim.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB Bill and Daisy Thomas filling in as a co-host all week.
Certainly am, Rabbits. Bill, this came across my desk today. I was sitting there on the computer having a look and I said, Aussie childhood dinners we all secretly hated.
Ah, yes.
So I read on, it said, started with, sorry, Mum, we all know our mums make the best cooks. Dads are okay too, do their best. From homemade casseroles, pies to roast and soups, there are plenty of dishes we'd easily jump back in time for. However, there are just as many we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me to thinking about a young Dale going to Druin South Primary School, getting off the bus.
Yep.
The bus door had opened, 500 metre walk up the driveway to the property, and there was a smell in the air.
Beautiful.
And I go, oh, not again.
What?
We would be having, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of your favourites.
Mm-hmm. Don't say corned beef.
Corned beef. The smell of it coming out of the house, down the driveway.
No. I'm not listening.
The food itself the next day I could almost cop. But we had a small house and dead set, the sheets smelt of it, the pillows, the curtains, corned beef.
Mm. It's my favourite. You know, it's my favourite corned beef.
Say no more.
When we went to the pub down here, the punters pub, which was full on Saturday, by the way.
Emerald.
That's what I
They're
have.
They're doing corned beef at the Emerald.
Of course they do. Oh, people love corned beef.
The smell though, Bill.
No.
It's just too much.
No.
Overpowering, gross. It smells like burning flesh.
Gross. That's why I like it. So growing up as a kid, you hated corned beef.
Yes, Mum's, you? Surely there was something.
No, I used to eat everything, as you can see. But Brussels sprouts.
Ah, the old favourite.
And
yes.
I hated them, but then I wouldn't eat them, and I wasn't allowed to leave the table until I ate them. But then they go cold, and I'd sit there, and it would be see who wins, and then I'd go off to bed. I hated and still do Brussels sprouts. Out. Yuck.
Well, then, hence. 133353, what is a dish from your childhood that you could not and still can't stand, absolutely hate it? fraught with danger, this, Bill, because there may not be people on the roads in the car. Will be. However, call us now.
Well, they can win a very good prize.
A $200 Neverland store voucher, the home of Australian streetwear, shop in store or online, neverlandstore.com.au, and a double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour with Paul Kelly, Bernard Fanning, Missy Higgins, and more at the Mornington Racecourse Sunday, January 15. Tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, there's a few there, Days. Well done. You thought there'd be no one around.
Very good. We take it after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour. 1-3-3-5-3. What childhood meal could you not stand?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
He's from Adelaide, too. They're just from all different country towns. Mm-hmm. Daniel,
Adelaide is not a country,
town. It's a city.
Yeah. Literally a city.
Have you been?
Yes.
We go into Adelaide.
Good city.
Great city.
We're asking you on 1-3-3-5-3, what are the childhood meals, Daisy, that you just couldn't stand?
Absolutely. And what are you still traumatised by from your childhood? The corned beef was for me. Actually, was it Scotty Cam on the other day that was saying he loved it as well?
Well, he cooked it for all the contestants on the block.
And?
They hated it.
Yeah, correct. So there you go. So the lines have lit up, Bill. We go to Fiona in Shoreham. Fiona, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
No dramas. What is the feed you got as a child that you're traumatised by?
Well, there's actually two. So the first one's ham steaks with pineapple.
Oh, yes.
I love them.
So foul. And the second one was even worse. It was Jerusalem artichokes.
Oh, the artichokes.
Well, did you know it's
dry reach? Did you have to peel them apart to get to the better part?
Well, so they're like, I mean, I don't know if you know them at all, but they're like, they look like a soggy ginger root. And then you get them and you squeeze the stuff out and eat the middle. It was just vomitile. And we were made to eat them. Oh. Dad grew them, so it was like...
Endless supply.
Yeah. It was nasty.
No, not ideal. Thank you very much, Fee. Nasty.
Leah's there in Pasco Valgo. Leah?
Hi, how are you guys?
You're on the radio. How are you going? As a child, what did you hate?
Oh, green peas. I was force-fed them, which in turn made the cat be force-fed so I could get away from the dinner table. Today, I still can't pick them. I can't eat them.
Still can't look at a pea today.
Oh, the peas are all right.
Absolutely not, no.
With mashed potato, mash them all up. Beautiful. No?
No.
Absolutely not. Thank you very much, Leah. We go to Gaz in Melton.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, Gaz. What did you hate as a kid?
Sorry, I'm just turning the car off.
Yeah, you're right. Gathered you were up to something. Yeah.
It was, believe it or not, ox tongue.
Oh.
Never had it.
Never. What's it don't say chicken, but what's it taste like?
I actually honestly couldn't tell you. I'm talking when I was probably... somewhere between 5 and 10. I'm now 56. So that was a long time ago. But coming home from school, it hit you.
Yes.
Bare square in the face as soon as you open the door, and then there was a pot, like a 24-gallon drum bubbling away.
How was it served? Like just a big tongue?
No. And believe it or not, it had the same texture as, well, it's a tongue. It when you popped the lid off and you touched it, and it was massive. I'm telling you, it was... It was like a roast lamb, the biggest roast lamb you've ever seen.
It's as much about the smell, though, isn't it? Whether it's just something that just sticks with you now.
Yeah, it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. And my parents were British, and there was 5 siblings. I was the youngest, and my brothers and sisters ate it.
Right.
I couldn't. I tried it and...
You have cousins and that too, did you?
Thanks very much for that, Gaz.
All my cousins are in England, so...
Understandably.
Good work, Gaz.
Hopefully no long-distance phone calls with them. Bill, who are we going to?
Luke from Wilgunya, which is up there, Corra, across the river, the Murray River. Geez, you'd be flooded up there, Lukey boy, wouldn't you?
She's a bit wet, Bill, you could say that.
Yes.
And still rated.
Gunya, there's not much there, to be honest, but a lovely little town.
Mate, it's got the great old Empire Hotel, Bill.
Oh, have you got that?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, mate.
Is it still open?
Froffies would be nice and cold.
Is. Oh, beautiful.
And do you have tuna casserole on?
Tuna casserole, not likely, Bill. It is SH1T.
From childhood, though, so got fed it a lot as a kid and still hate it?
Yeah, I can't handle it, mate. Misses and kids love tuna and corn vol-au-vents. No, yo, can't go near it. Scarred me for life.
Tuna, yeah, no from me too, Bill. No from you?
No.
Something.
That's a straight cross.
Very, very good. We like that one. Rob from Melton.
Yeah, mate. How you doing, boys?
Very well, thank you. What's something that you're scarred from and cannot stand?
Oh, when I was 8 and my brother was 10, my father had a housekeeper and we had curry sausages for breakfast, lunch and tea for 2 weeks. She was gone after that.
She got a job at the Creamy.
We had him on special there. Curried sausage is bloody beautiful. Not every day, I suppose, for lunch and dinner and breakfast.
Yeah, not for 2 weeks, you know, 3 times a day, Bill. Come on, mate.
Yeah, all right. All right, then. But
you like a lot of food, Bill.
Well, you do. I think you got to try everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not the tuna casserole. I'm with the old knackers there. I'll tell you what, who wins this.
Prize is Bill.
Gary from Melton, the ox tongue, just sounds shit.
Well, Gaz, you got a double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour, mate, with Paul Kelly, Bernard Fanning, Missy Higgins and more at the Mornington Racecourse, January 15.
You beauty.
Well done.
Not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. Like, quick. Let's go with Fiona, the artichokes. I had a bad experience with an artichoke when I first went to the in-law's house for a dinner, so we'll get the artichokes.
Yeah, we'll send Fee a $100 grilled voucher. You won't be able to resist the new mouth-watering saltbush and pepper onion rings from Grilled. They're 100% natural, gluten-friendly, and vegan.
How good is that, Bill?
Artichoke.
They come in, they're very picky, and one time I rocked up a bit under the weather from a Mad Monday, and that was what I got served. They're not the point anyway.
Bill, you had a massive day at the races on Saturday.
Did I?
Yes, plenty of fun and a few stories. We're going to touch on it next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Nat Fife has grown a goat.
So what?
No, I just liked it. It just tickled
Fanty.
Fanty.
Fancy.
Saturday, Rabsy, of course, was Derby Day. Lucky enough to go along. I was in a working capacity, had some clients from our good friends at Points Bet, Bill. But I had a couple of sightings of you swanning around, I'm led to believe, in the birdcage.
Public. I went out where the public area is. I loved it out there with all my friends.
Do not lie. Where were you?
I got an invitation, Daisy.
Yes.
To the birdcage, Paramount, which is the Channel 10 one, actually, which was very nice. So I thought I'd take it up. Took young Oscar along. And we had a lovely day there. Very nice.
How was the day inside? So obviously the birdcage for, well, I guess everyone knows, but if you don't, it's the la-di-da, top end of town, the celebrities.
Not really, Daisy. Don't pump it up like that.
Okay,
but
well.
Yes. No, but it's changed a bit. The big open space is there now. You can sit and have a drink. They had a big band area and things like that. And you can actually now see a horse. You can see the race. You never could see the race in the birdcage. So,
Are they struggling for big names, though, if... Well, with all due respect, if W. Brownless is Anthony Williams.
No, well, there were some good names where I went. Stephen Quatermain was there, of course, Channel 10 for long.
Okay.
And then there was a lovely Jennifer Kite, who we all love. Robbie Mills was there running around.
Mm-hmm. Sandra Sully?
So this lady comes up to me, goes, "G'day, Bill, I'm Sandra Sully." And I said, "Sandra Sully with the late news." And she goes... Yes, Bill, I've
that
heard
was that. Your opener.
That was my opener.
Hello, I'm Sandra Sully. Welcome to 10's Late News.
Exactly, Rosie.
Did you receive it well? Because I would have slapped you.
I think she'd heard it before. It wasn't the first time. Yeah. But a lovely lady. We got talking and she had some tips because they all get some good tips there. So we're going through all that. But she was lovely. So it was really nice. Very la-di-da and champagne and wine and whatever you want. And then I just said to this lady, I said, "Where do you have a bet? I just need a little bet." She said, "You've got to go downstairs, a big barn door." So I went downstairs, opened this big barn door, walked in, not one person in there. Not one, Daisy.
So you've been given a bum steer?
No, bloody great steer.
The barn door had punting facilities?
Well, so I walk in, there's a room there, lovely lady with the points bet tab and things. There's a bar there. There's a TV with the races.
Yep.
And I'm sitting on a window where you can still see the la-di-da out there. So I went and locked the door.
On your patent alone?
Yeah, I was on my own. How good was that?
Sat there betting on your phone.
At the races.
At the races.
By yourself.
Private room Brownless.
So I did, and you're right. No, some people come in. A bloke had to come in and bring food in, which was very... How good is a chicken sandwich at about 5 o'clock? Yeah. And they bring these little toasties too. Gee, they're good. Anyway, the kids went off and did their stuff.
Did Oscar had a good day? Did he meet good anyone? Day.
Well, oh, yes. He met someone upstairs. That's right. What's his name? He's a director, Daisy.
What's his name? Well, you were there.
Yeah, I met him. He's a very nice boy. Who is it?
Taika Waititi.
That's him?
Yes. Taika.
Who's a very, very good director.
Well, he's won an Academy Award, a BAFTA, a Grammy, received two nominations at the Primetime Emmy Awards. Mm. Time magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And wow. You had out of...
So Oscar said, this Nentiti or whatever his name is.
Taika Waititi.
Taika, yeah. Oscar said, you've got to come, Dad, come up with me. I want to meet him. So I went upstairs and the good-looking man sitting, Rory Lobb actually was there with his blonde hair sitting right next to him. Anyway, Oscar weaseled his way in, having a great old chat about the movies he'd made, and then I come in. I'd had a couple of beers. I said, then Oscar, this is my dad. And I go, g'day, mate, how are you? I said, oh, movies, I love my movies. I like, you know what my favourite movie is? He goes, what? I go, Porky's 1 and Porky's 2. What a dickhead.
And how was that received better than the late news?
I love them. I love those movies. And he gave me a little, what do you call those?
Fist bump.
Bang. Gave me a little fist bump. But how good was that? He was a very nice fella. Lovely man. I liked him.
He's directed the last two Thor films.
Yeah, Thor.
Thor. Well, I didn't know that. If I knew that, I could have spoke to him about your Thor.
Could have rolled a bit more material out.
And the other good show that Whit was telling me about.
Jojo Rabbit?
No, which, not no, that.
Hunt for the Wilder People?
Yes, yeah. That one in New Zealand. That is a good show. I've seen that. So good on him. Very nice. Anyway, it was funny because I was downstairs. I after me Porky's thing, I said, that's enough from you, Dad. You just go downstairs. And I sat in this chair. So the kids, after about 3 hours, said, Dad, where are you? We're out gallivanting. I said, I'm still in that chair, just sitting there punning. At 6 o'clock, they text me, Dad, where are you? We should get going now. We'll catch a bus or something. Said, I'm still in that chair. So sat there for 6 hours.
Has not moved. So
old
then
fat
so
didn't move.
Cup day, surely you're not going back.
Cremorne.
There you go. So you just sit in the, do chair. What you did at the races, but at your pub.
Spot on.
Outstanding.
Looking forward to it too.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah. Good director. Follow him. It's going to be all right. Porky's.
Porky's 1 and 2 of all the films.
You're a clown.
Oh. Triple M's Rush Hour. Daisy Thomas, Anthony William Brandless.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What they say is great bloke, great promoter, but not a great bass player.
Bass player.
Triple M. Massive second hour coming up for you on your Monday night. Cup Eve, Halloween, Emma Friedman still to come, Bill, giving us all the tips. Got it from good authority that we think she might have just come straight from the call of the card.
At Crown.
Yeah, so that's where all the big punters sit. So hopefully she can find us a winner, some feedback coming in, and also a joke. But now it's time for this.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Bizarre. It's Billy's look at the weird side of footy and other stuff.
Five. Very good today.
Is it?
No.
507 5 at, Rabsy, just a minute out there. What are you doing?
507 and you're a minute out at 505.
Well, 2 minutes.
Quick maths.
But some interesting ones here. You'll love this one, Daisy, today. Speaking of that, what have we got at?
What's at number 5, Fat?
Thank you very much. The Today Show, Daisy, was broadcasting from Crown on Friday morning, okay, with Carl and Ali live in Melbourne, and a special guest was Tony Chompas Jones.
Nice to see you, by the way.
Nice to see you. Yeah, nice to see you. Now we're segueing into something. Yeah.
Something a little bit better.
Yeah. Can I just say from the outset, apologies if you say something funny and I don't laugh.
Why?
Because
it's not funny?
I've had a tooth fall out this morning.
Oh!
No, don't laugh.
What do you mean? Are you getting that old?
No.
Show me.
No, it's a...
What?
Oh! Oh, righto. It's not that bad,
is
it?
What happened?
I don't know. It's a crown that was put in about 30 years ago. Yeah.
It's shocking.
Oh, well, it's not great, is it? So...
You go, hey,
I feel like, you know, like I'm 99 or something, you know?
I hope it wasn't the front teeth. Wow, we'd be in trouble when
you'd
be chopped
when it came out.
Well, thanks for joining us, Drew, and we'll see you on the footy show tonight.
Thanks, chompity chomp, chomp, chomp.
Okay, thanks for that.
How much would the tooth fairy give him if it was one of the front ones?
Material.
How about number 4, Bins?
Oh, here we go. Oh, Snoop Dogg. We all love Snoop Dogg. Yes. Did you know now he's Snoop Dogg Attenborough?
I didn't.
Oh, there we go. Little cute little lizard. What the hell is going on? He's being watched. Snakes are straight assholes. You could tell the way they look. They plotting right now. See how they got their necks up? That means they coming to get it. Oh, jump, jump, jump. Run, run. Oh, there you go. Get a hold of it. See, snakes can't do all that because they ain't got hands. And they ain't got feet. Damn. Yeah, cuz, I'm up on the top of the mountain with you. Remind me of my homeboys when they're running from the police. Clean getaway, baby.
That was on his Twitter over the weekend.
Very funny, man. He does a lot of the stuff with Kevin Hart as well in and around the Olympics.
Oh.
Very funny. Just his take on it.
I like that. Well done, Snoop Dogg.
What's at number three, Cocko?
Oh, here we are. We all love a BT story, don't we?
Brian.
We love Brian. And this is Richo telling us one on a podcast called Do's and D.
About three or four more people boarded, and then the machine at the gate that was boarding us all, the boarding ticket machine, something happened to it and the system malfunctioned, right?
Oh, boy.
So everyone that was on the plane had to stay on the plane, and everyone else was told to go back and wait until they fixed the machine, right? So we go back to the lounge and we're sitting there having a beer. We're taking photos of the beers, sending them to Brian, knowing how filthy he would be on the plane.
Oh.
He's sitting there, an hour and a half delayed. Really? So Brian sat there on his own for an hour and a half in 1A. And when we walked back onto the plane, he just wouldn't look at us. He ignored us.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
He loves to get on the plane early. Get in his 1A.
First on, first off.
Exactly. That's in, Brian.
Give us number two, smack.
You'll love this one, Daisy. Queensland race caller Josh Fleming was pre-warned that on Saturday the opening race at Eagle Farm was going to be a challenge for him. Trainer Les Ross entered 9 runners in a 10-horse field, all with the Masani name in it.
Oh, no.
Have a listen.
Mashani Raider, the leader. Mashani Renegade, the outsiders out after Mashani Raider. Mashani Raider, Mashani Renegade. Mashani Raider, Mashani Renegade. Mashani Renegade's going home the better. And Mashani Renegade's won from Mashani Raider. Third, Mashani Mystique, followed by Mashani Metallic. Then Magic of Milo, Mashani Twilight, Mashani Tycoon, Mashani Vela, Mashani Sienna. And the last one was Mashani Star.
It sounds like the old Kenny Calendar. Silver Sovereign. And if another horse has got an S.
Funny you should have that.
Sister Sally is at 66-1. So too is Slingshot, Silver Shadow and Summer Haze at 100-1. And the rank outsiders, Son of Sam and Set the Scene at 660-1. So there you are, Johnny. Every f***ing horse with an S in his name. What do you reckon? She's a bit of a shut-up?
She was a shut-up, wasn't it?
The great Kenny Calendar.
Oh, how good's that? 12th man. Thank you very much. Thank Billy there, of course. And what do you got at number one, Bill? Daisy. You and Heater were onto something. I think this was from your show called Heater and Daisy, which was about a year ago, and you had a special guest, Scott Pendlebury, and you played the game Sack One, Trade One, Sign One. Have a listen to this.
Sack One, Sign One, Trade One. The names are?
DeGoey, Grundy and Buckley.
Sack Box.
Yep. Good. Sharp.
Begin with breaking news this morning. Under siege, Nathan Buckley has stood down as head coach of the Collingwood Football Club.
It's probably that shock first. I said I still feel a little bit numb about it.
I'll trade Grundy.
Jesus, you're not getting great service in the middle.
Traded away by Collingwood to ease salary pressures, Brody Grundy has lamented the fact he won't be a pie for life.
I'll re-sign Geordie.
No prisoners there.
Star midfielder Jordan Ngoi has come to terms with the Pies, and he will be staying there on a new 5-year deal.
Wowee.
That's incredible.
Well, that is. Scott Pendlebury a year ago, sack one, Bucks.
Yes.
Trade one, Brody Grundy.
Who just at the moment signed a 7-year deal, or was a couple of years into
spot
it.
Spot on.
Wow.
And sign one, Ngoi.
Well, there you go. Look, it's literally tomorrow's news yesterday. Brilliant stuff by us. Or is it good by Scott? Is the pump up coming to me or Scott?
No, Scott.
Oh,
what, you're taking the credit for that?
Well, he's taking the credit for my Norm Smith, so. 15 all, Scooty. Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Huey Bowman's there, Jim.
Yes, who else?
65, Melissimo Longa.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback.
please.
With Aussie Super Mole Rosie Walton.
It gets me every time. Rose, welcome.
Hello, Daisy. Lovely to see you. Got some feedback to me on. Sorry, Bill.
No, rightfully so.
Feedback on you.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
To the Instagram at Triple M Rush Hour from Wayne Henry. Last week we were talking about, you know, you're a bogan when. Mm. And somebody suggested that when you find cars, when you mow the lawn. Your house.
Yes.
I said, oh, yeah, you know, when you find a Cortina under the grass or whatever. And so Wayne Henry sent a message going, if the Aussie Super Mole can find me a Cortina in a front yard, I'd marry her.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Oh, Cortina. Wayne, I'm going to try and find one.
Yes, look around.
Daisy, I'm sure you're on a wall of a restaurant or a cafe or a bakery somewhere.
Yeah. Signing a plate, I think, somewhere in Perth.
Okay.
Yeah, is that what you mean?
Port Douglas?
Just somewhere, like photos of you having like a snot block somewhere or something.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know.
Okay, well, there's a Gerildery Bakery. I'm not sure which one.
It's the Gerildery Bakery. Okay. There's only one.
Somebody sent us a photo of something that's on the wall at the Gerildery Bakery.
That's a shocking photo.
Apparently it's Bill. Looks like his face is caved in.
No, it's not right, is it? I've seen that.
What is that?
But you know, there's two photos.
Is that a photo?
Yeah, there's two photos in the Jewellery
Bakery.
It's like
a lithograph.
Yeah, that's what it is. So there's me and Ned Kelly.
As in Ned Kelly.
Ned Kelly.
Actual Ned Kelly.
Well, he robbed Jewellery back in the day.
Stop for a photo.
Well, I don't know if he stopped.
Not a great way to not get caught.
They got him with the cameras on the way out. Me and Ned Kelly are the only two in the Jewellery Bakery.
That needs to go up on the line.
It's a face like a dropped pie.
Well, we're both well hung.
I think you're on the wall of Papalino's on Chapel Street as well, one of the pizza shops. There's
a photo
of you. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Where did they do that?
Well, you're standing there.
No, I signed a plate at Port Douglas once. Okay. One of those restaurants. Yeah, they come out and you think you're going to get a discount and you don't.
You signed it. I signed the one in Perth, but it wasn't ours, so I had to pay. Anyhow.
Now, there's a notable absence that's,
Jing.
You know, yes, hasn't been here last week, not here this week, not here next week, not here till late January, maybe even February.
He'll come back for 2 weeks and go for another month. Don't laugh.
But Saturday was a big night for James. He wasn't there, but he won a commercial radio award thing.
Wow. What was
for
it?
Winner, best sports presenter, Metro. And I put in a little thing in the group chat. Only one person responded, Bill. He went, F. And no one else cares.
Is Jim in that group chat?
Yes.
So he didn't even acknowledge it?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's like our punters group chat. Mm. Hey, but how does he win that? Is that
being
part
a sports presenter?
And then somebody votes on it.
Mm. Yeah, on Channel 7 or?
No, Triple M.
Radio awards. Bill. Yeah. Acris.
But aren't we all together? Like, either on the, or is it the footy or is it the what? Or here?
Just sport.
Mm, all encompassing.
All right. Well done, Jim, you turd.
Coattails Brownless wanted a piece of it.
Wow, I thought, the Sunday or whatever. So what do we do? Saturday rub, something?
No, just him as a presenter.
Yeah, no, I gathered that.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's not awkward at all, Daisy.
No, that's fine.
He has flown off, though. He's on his trip with his beloved Lisa, and he's put up a selfie on the plane yesterday. Correct. Photo of him on the plane, front and centre, a little bit red in the face, writing, best photo bomb ever. We're off to my favourite country in the world, stand by global and trenders. Hashtag how good, hashtag Jim's head is red, hashtag haven't touched a drop, they've got champagne. So we put up the question on our Instagram, what hashtag has Jim missed?
Yes.
And?
Not many.
Yes, please. What do we got?
P. Collier. Business class flog.
Yes. Hold on.
I'm suggesting that's incorrect.
Oh, you reckon he's further up?
Oh, first.
Upstairs, I reckon.
Wowee.
Oz head down. Hashtag pink eye. I don't know. Something
pillow
going
fighter.
On. Herbo193, flog sure.
Perfect.
Shadley23, flog of flogs.
Exactly.
Big22 fan, top flog. Matt Littlechild, global trending flog. Adrian O'Brien, linguine armed flog. And from Anthony, entitled Jim. Thank you very much. Oh, and Jing flying from Mitch Woods. Love it.
Amazing that Billy Brownless didn't comment on that. Though I thought there might have been something there.
I put something up.
Okay, very
Smacks.
Good. Smack flogs. Very good, Rosemary. Thank you very much.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's him.
That's him.
You're not listening. He is.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB Bill with Daisy Thomas tomorrow at the Melbourne Cup. Emma Friedman will be front and centre at Landmark by Lexus Marquee.
The Melbourne Cup is just one day away.
Yes, yes.
So who better to preview the biggest race in the country than someone who couldn't be more excited?
It's here. It's finally here.
Please welcome Triple M and Racing Royalty, Emma Friedman.
Racing Royalty, it is, Em. Usually you're working alongside a lot of the greats.
Like you.
That's what I was getting through, Channel 7. But tomorrow, no cameras into the Lexus Marquee. Are you ripping the lid off it?
I think I will. I think I will tomorrow, guys. Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I haven't been at Flemington for a cup day now in, 3 years? So really excited to get back with the crew from Lexus, who are obviously the naming rights partner of the Melbourne Cup. And they do everything so incredibly well. They've got a great setup again in the birdcage, a great guest list, wonderful food, wine, entertainment, a big focus on sustainability in the new car that they're going to showcase. But most of all, the race that stops the nation, which we're just pumped about.
And you got a bit of makeup on him.
Yeah,
look at the eye.
Well, you come in to Triple M, and that's
why. Because you come in to see us. I've never seen you. You're not a makeup girl.
Not really.
But have a look at you. And you've got this spill. What's going on with your
eyebrows, right?
Eyebrows.
It's the new thing. You've got to have full brows.
Do you?
Yeah, apparently. My sister does my makeup, and she goes, do you want to have a look? I go, no. I just leave. So whatever I look like, that's what I look like.
So where have
Thanks
you been?
Thanks so much, Dale. I really appreciate it.
So where have you been then to be all dolled up?
I've been hosting the Call of the Card with the great Jason Richardson at Crown. So
did he tip 8 winners at Sydney on the weekend?
Did he? No, I don't think so. Oh. Did he?
I wasn't watching.
I don't think so.
No, he was saying that maybe he didn't.
Was he?
So how's the Call of the Card? Tell the people who's listening what the Call of the Card is all about.
So the Call of the Card is where they have 4 big bookmakers in a big room at Crown with about 1,000 big punters.
Yes.
And basically, Richo will open up with the price that of a horse that the tab has at the moment. So say for the favourite tomorrow in Deauville Legend, about $3.40 is what the tab's offering. The big bookies have the opportunity to provide a better price, and that's where the big bets flood in. So you kind of can see where the big money is coming, which can be a great indicator as to, you know, the smart money in this game. And if you're a punter and you can get along to it, you can get a better price and, you know, hopefully walk away a big winner. But the big ones to come out of the Call of the Card.
Yes, please.
Interpretation had some specking at big odds. So did Dash and Sweet Jr. with Daniel Moore on board. Serpentine, who had a great race in the Archer on Saturday, he'll go straight to the front and provide a huge amount of speed, the Epsom Derby winner.
Realm of Flowers, because we
I didn't want to spruik Realm of Flowers because I don't want it to shorten too much.
We had Michelle Payne on earlier.
Yes.
And she liked it.
Did she? Mm.
And also Bill has tipped it, hence why he's carrying on.
Oh,
now
that's
like
the Moz. I'm done now. So soon.
All right, I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Smoke and Romans.
Smoke and Romans. I reckon people have cooled on him. Mm. I reckon after his Turnbull Stakes victory, people were hot on him for the Caulfield Cup, but obviously didn't end up winning that with Durston and the tussle with Gold Trip at the end of that. So I think people have cooled on him a little bit, remembering that the Mar Eustace team, they've got 5 runners in this cup. It's quite unbelievable.
What's the whisper was there any around Luna Flair? Because I always heard a tip earlier in the week and now people getting off that, and if there might be stewards and vets being involved.
Yes, I was about to say, have you heard the news? Well, I think there might be a vet inspection tomorrow morning with Luna Flair. That didn't deter a couple of big punters in the room. There were a couple of $400 bets for her, but from what I understand, there'll be another vet inspection tomorrow morning. So, which would be, I mean, if she's not proven fit, that would be very unfortunate to Graham Begg, who's a wonderful trainer. He's been in this game a really long time. Love him and his wife, Susie. For her to be taken out, especially after the last couple of weeks of Mickey D with, you know, a Derby winner and a Caulfield Cup, that would be it would be a turn of fortune for him in the wrong direction. But, you've got the same mail as me.
Is there seem to be more vet inspections this year?
Yeah, there definitely are. You know, the Racing Victoria vets, their job, especially in the last few years, and the directive from Racing Victoria has been to make sure that every runner in the Melbourne Cup is completely and utterly sound, especially the international runners. And that's why we've seen the withdrawal of those top two, including Loft from last week and now Point Nepean this morning as well. I mean, Point Nepean is a different one because that was an elevated blood thing that the trainer had to report. But yes, there has been more vet inspections, more withdrawals before the cup that I've seen in the last few years. And this pleads a case for the emergencies going forward in the Melbourne Cup, which we can't have apparently because the TAB can't install more than 24
numbers.
Runners in a race, which I understand. It must be difficult, but we'd love to see emergencies because there's a few who missed out in getting a run for the cup who now be going, oh, well, this is annoying, isn't it? I could be well within that 24.
It is fantastic to see, though, Racing Victoria and the stewards putting these implementations in place to scanning the horses and everything, because the welfare of the horses, although we go along and have a great day, that is the most important part.
Absolutely, Daze, you're right on it.
Absolutely. Right. Em Friedman, will you stick around for another break because you have to contractually?
Yeah. Okay, I better then.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Can I just please have GVO? Good vibes only, please. That's what we want today.
And our good mate Emma Freeman is stuck around.
Absolutely, Em. Now, look, I follow you on Instagram, been lucky enough to work alongside you.
Where are we going here?
I always get interested by what your followers say about you. So obviously, if I put a post up, a lot of it's like, give us a tip, Daisy, you got fat, you know, why'd you go the blues, your dog? I read yours and it's all very complimentary, a really nice mix of male and or female. But I got to cast an eye across one that said, you have brought all of your vivaciousness to the racing coverage. Even hard-bitten punters must find you enchanting.
Now, he texted me this yesterday morning.
What does it mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but because I hadn't looked at it you don't look at your comments all the time, right? And so I get a text. I'm on a plane yesterday morning flying from Sydney to Melbourne, and this one texts me going, have you read your Insta comments lately? And I'm like, I will now. And I did agree that was a bit weird. I think, I don't know really what it means. But
he's in love with you.
Oh, well, there's, I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah, and I'm embarrassed. Because I don't even know who this is from. And I'm married, guys, by the way.
No, we know that. Yeah. But if he sees you with that makeup, wow, we. Now, I've got two questions for you, Emil, right? I've got a horse running tomorrow, actually.
Do you?
Race 9, number 13, Mississippi.
Yeah.
60-1. Oh, okay. One last start.
Like, speck at odds.
But you know what? She is pregnant and is going one or two lengths better.
Yes.
How does that work?
I think it's a hormone thing. So, you know, when you're in foal, so to speak, and particularly with horses, I always found it interesting that you can run a mare in foal.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a hormone thing. So, like, there's certain hormones that are elevated when you're pregnant. And, it can help mares. And I find it really interesting. Did you find it interesting that she'd go around this prep being in foal?
And how long can you go?
I don't think very far.
All right. This is my other question. Do horses in Queensland and New South Wales go that way?
Oh, this is a question I can't answer.
And the rest of Australia go the other way?
Do you know what, Bill? This is a great question. And
keep that, Matt.
Because it makes me touch on the fact that racing, and I love racing, I'm in the racing game, you know, with Seven and, you know, with family connections as well. Racing is the only sport in this country that between jurisdictions just love to have fights.
Yeah.
Big fights.
Proper Barneys.
New South Wales, Victoria.
The argy-bargy is out of control. Yeah. Like, why can't we just all work together and have this unified body that, you know, like
the AFL.
Can you imagine going, you know what, we don't play lengthways in New South Wales in AFL. We actually play the other way. Like, that's what it feels like. I mean, I can't answer that. It's a long historical probably decision, but I do find it strange. And I reckon people travelling from the UK or the US out here who love their racing go, what is going on here? What is the deal?
And here's a question you can answer. The Friedman name, right?
Yeah.
Looking at the trainers. They're bloody Friedman.
Bill. Well for them.
So there's A&S Friedman.
Yeah. Anthony and Sam.
Who are?
Uncle Anthony, Cousin Sam.
Righto. Then there's Richard and Will Friedman.
Uncle Richard, Cousin Will.
Right.
A lot of dad and sons here on TV.
Yeah, they're both father son pairings. Yeah.
And is there any others?
Oh, well, yeah, there's DL Friedman.
DL. So
that's my dad.
Right.
And he's up on the Gold Coast.
Right.
And then there's M Friedman.
Yes.
Which is Michael. But then there's also M Friedman, who is Mitchell, who is not related. So to make things even
and
more
complex. There's
complete.
M Friedman, E M Friedman.
Me.
Which is you.
Yeah.
Yes. So
there's M Friedman and M Friedman and M Friedman. But they're not related.
They're not related.
Wow.
But so Mitchell Friedman trains out of Ballarat and he's apparently no relation.
Oh, jeez.
I know. It's a very complex situation. Yeah, I understand.
It certainly is. Righto. We've asked everyone that's come on a tip, a winner. something you like and then maybe something at odds and why. It doesn't have to be in the cup. Just
can I give
just
you a box trifecta?
Yes, I'm writing it down.
As long as it wins.
Okay. So I like to have, I'll have six out of 23 now because of point in a pee and scratching. Six boxed up for a trifecta.
Oh, let's go first four. More.
Yeah, you could do the same thing, right? Four. So I will include the favourite in Deauville Legend, who's only had the seven starts for James Ferguson with Kerry McAvoy on board. He's won a group two and a group three. I reckon he's too short in the market. So he's 340 at the moment. I reckon he should be a little bit longer. So I think he will drift tomorrow.
So number eight's in there.
Stockman. Ooh. Who won the St. Ledger in Sydney over the 26. He dropped back to the 2,000 on the weekend. So he's undergoing the Bart Cummings preparation in inverted commas. So Bart's thoughts were that every runner of his in the cup had to have 10Ks of competition under his belt before heading to the first Tuesday in November. And Joe Pride has stuck with that. This horse is tough. He is a tough, true stayer. He might lack the class of some of these runners tomorrow, but he is a out-and-out stayer.
Yep.
And I love Sammy Clipperton, who's on board for his first cup ride.
Doesn't mind it wet.
Doesn't mind it wet.
Good. Yeah. Another tick.
Yep.
Another one who doesn't mind it wet, only carrying the 50 kilos, Realm of Flowers.
Number 24.
For A&S Friedman. Will Stay, loves the wet. Was so close in the Metropolitan in Sydney. Knight's Order, I'll throw Gain Adrian's from Sydney in there as well.
Number three.
He's a two-time 3,200-metre winner. He won the Sydney Cup, likes the wet as well. He'll jump from gate 24, go straight to the front and probably tussle it out for the lead with Serpentine.
Mm-hmm.
Montefilia for David Payne. She is coming well into the market with Jason Collett on board.
Number four.
Her Caulfield Cup run was really gutsy. She had everything go wrong on the turn and down the straight. She got checked so badly and had to find cleaner air. And then I will include the 10, Bow and Declare, who won the Melbourne Cup in 2019.
The last win it had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he's been going good this prep, and the Melbourne Cup has always been his sole ambition this campaign. I don't know if he can win it, but I reckon he'll run a good race.
What about Hooyah Mau?
Hooyah Ma, the £1.2 million
Gay Waterhouse
purchase from the Gough sale in London.
No, righto.
I'm just not so sure. Like he was really, really good in Europe and he's got a great pedigree and I'm just sometimes these internationals, it's you can look at their form over there, but it's nothing compared to running a strong 3,200-metre handicap in the wet with 22 other horses. That's a completely different kettle of fish, right?
Right.
And
beautiful.
Anything else
you
from
like
the
anything else you want to throw in?
Not yet.
Come on.
Anything else from the stable that you can give the...
Well, the SMs and bloody...
the MMs and the MMs and the MMs.
Oh, have Love Tap in the prize race.
Love Tap!
Come on.
Look at that's his Arnie's horse.
I know, that's
it never
I
wins.
Straight at him.
It never wins.
Come on.
It has one terrible race, then one good one, and it was real shit the last race.
Well,
so get
then you
on.
Chew a good one, don't you?
You have yourself an awesome time tomorrow.
Of course, each way.
That is your horse, of course. Good luck to you all. If you are going to have a bet, remember to gamble responsibly. Have fun in your marquee without the camera on you tomorrow. Fluffies. And thank you very much for coming in and joining
us. Just stitch me up deluxe there. Just wanted to let my hair down. No, I'll be tidy. Don't worry, guys.
And maybe not the sister to do the makeup.
Oh!
Emma Friedman,
Jesus
who's
Christ.
Looking lovely on the rush hour. Thanks
to
Lexus.
Been pissed for the last 2 hours.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, Daisy Thomas and Anthony William Brownless.
Of course, Bill, tomorrow is Cup Day, so we're off. You're off. Another one. No, you betcha.
There it is there.
There will be a best of, though, for the loyal Rush Hour listeners, a best of, and we'll be back live on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But before we get all excited for Cup Day or go out trick-or-treating, whatever you'll be doing tonight,
yes,
you need to hit us with one of these.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke. Allegra Interiors, Melbourne's premium curtains and blinds retailer. For a free quote, search Allegra Interiors.
Just caught me off guard again, but we're right, Daze. I've got one here. It'll be a
just
beauty.
Just the hour and 55 leading wasn't
well,
enough.
Well, I always forget for some reason. Hey, Daisy, I ordered a chicken and egg from Amazon. I'll let you know. he gets
to which will come first.
Spot on.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to say that.
Oh, well.
Look at how flat everyone out there is.
It's disappointing. We've got it.
Leading into a public holiday.
You're not here for another day and a half.
I know.
36 hours.
Well, just keep padding. Hang on. Let me have a look at you.
Oh, no.
Did you know corduroy pillows are in style now, Days?
I didn't.
They're making headlines.
That's okay.
You get that, right?
Oh, yes. It's not great, but we're coming from a very low base. Nah. Yeah, give him both.
Disappointing. I'll take it. Yeah.
You know in yourself they weren't
I'll
good enough.
I'll take it. Well, it's Monday. We haven't breath to the tape. Daisy's been poor and I've been worse.
Daisy's been sensational.
Oh, very good.
I haven't had the opportunity to go full Bunta.
Full Bunta.